Everyone, thank you for this evening. My name is Kathy McCory. I'm the CEO at the South County Chambers, and we're here to get to know our mayoral and our city council candidates of Aurora Grande a bit better this evening. But if we can please start, if you would all stand up, and Josh, if you would guide us in the flag salute, please.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Josh. So first off, we're going to kind of set the guidelines. And number one, I want to let all the candidates know that you can take a deep breath and relax. Tonight is all about getting to know these candidates. And so my role today is just to do that, is to ask them a few questions each so you can get to know them better. And then after this Q&A, then to allow you to meet the candidates individually and be able to ask them all the questions that you want to be able to ask them. So this is kind of how we're going to roll. We have a timekeeper. So Cassie's got some cards. Each candidate has 2 minutes, and they will get warnings when they have 1 minute and then 30 seconds, and then they'll get their little stop card flashed at them along with a little alarm going off. So it's not to evacuate the building. It is just to let them know that we'd like to keep the program moving along, because the more time we have, the better we can get to know our candidates. So that's the purpose for the timers. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. And of course, we've got our mayoral candidates up here. And just candidates, so you know, I'm going to start with one. We're kind of just going to start closest to me, and then the next time we'll move on. And so each of you will rotate, but we will keep track of that for you as well. So don't worry about that if you lose your place, if it's your time to start. All right, so our first question to our mayoral candidates is to take a brief 2 minutes to share why you are running and the top two things that you want constituents to know about you as a candidate that you feel make you uniquely qualified for the position. And again, we're going to start with Karen.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time to come down here. And for all of you at home who are streaming, we really appreciate you tuning in and getting involved in local government. I'm Karen Ray Russom. I'm the mayor of City of Aurora Grande. And the two reasons I'm running. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one is honestly the most unexciting thing I could possibly tell you. Every time I run, I ask myself this question. And every time I run, it's a different answer. And this time, what I'm really looking forward to is leading our city through our general plan update. That, again, is the most unsexy thing I could possibly tell you. It's not dazzling, but in the end, it really is. It's the driving document that will last for decades. It says who we are, it says where we've been, where we want to go, and who we want to be. And you need to elect a mayor who knows who we are, where we've been, where we want to go, and who we want to be. And I look forward to including all of you, everyone at home, and the community in this. We're going to go far and wide to make sure that people are involved. Secondly, I want to make sure that we can shore up our pavement budget and our infrastructure to make sure that the investments that you've made in the past are taken care of, that don't have deferred maintenance. We all know things get exponentially more expensive when we do that. So I want to shore up the things that are most expensive for you, the taxpayer, so that we can make sure that we can get down to the business of things we really want to be doing, which is things like Harvest Festival, things like Halloween, things like Christmas, all the things that make us uniquely Aurora Grande. So with that, I'd like to ask for your vote. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Dale.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dale Hansen. Two reasons I'm running for mayor. Number one, I'm very dissatisfied with the leadership that's been going on with the county and city over our water shortage. It's so critical that we have to have an agenda every meeting about the pandemic, but we have nothing on the agenda about water shortage that was generated back in 2015 when the city and the other four constituents sent letters to the county asking them to look at Diablo desalinization plant to bring water to our public system. That's an interesting thing. That plant can produce 1.5 billion gallons of water a day. That equates to 450 gallons per minute. And the nuclear power plant only needs 40% of that. So there's a lot of water not being utilized that could go in our system. That's number one. The second reason is ethics. I'm a very strong believer in ethics and conflict of interest. Conflict of interest statement states that you shall not participate in any decision process that has a financial impact on you currently or in the future. Thank you. I ask for my vote. For my vote.
Thank you, Dale. All right, Gaia.
Hello, my name is Gaia Powell, and I never in a million years thought I'd be running for office. But after the last couple years and attending some of the city council meetings, I was inspired to. I feel like instead of being frustrated and angry, that it was time to roll up my sleeves and do something about it. I agree with some of the statements that Dale made about conflicts of interest that concerned me. Obviously, we're all very concerned about water, and luckily, we're in that boat with a lot of other communities, so it's something we all will need to address together. I am a constitutional sanctuary city candidate, and what that means, because a lot of people have asked me, is my highest priority is to hold people accountable to the Constitution. And our leaders took oaths to that Constitution, and not to their special interests, not to the majority. And please bear with me, because I've never done a forum like this, and some of us are more seasoned at this than others. And I felt like the way that the pandemic, we still are under emergency, was handled very poorly. I am pro-business. I am pro your freedom to decide what is best for you and your family once you know the facts. And I encourage all to not watch the local mainstream media and or national media. Always know who's sponsoring that media and search out answers for yourselves. Some of our local doctors have even been censored. Their jobs have been threatened. And I'm also very concerned about some of the decisions that were made in signing contracts to get the relief money and what those restrictions are on the citizens from those contracts. So thank you very much. My time is up.
Thank you, Gaia. Okay, next question. Please describe the qualifications and leadership skills you bring to the position. So, Dale, let's start with you. Qualifications and leadership skills that you would bring to the mayor's office.
I think the major qualification is I bring a diversified background. I've worked for both federal in a military capacity and civil service capacity. I've worked for the state of California, I've worked for county, and I've worked for school districts and aerospace. So I have a diversified background around the area, and I view things financially in a different perspective. I'm sorry, what was the other part of the question?
No, and your leadership skills.
I guess I'd say the leadership skill is kind of inherent in the sense that I've progressed up through the military ranks. Ended up serving 33 years and retired as lieutenant colonel. That included 8 years as enlisted, where I promoted up to sergeant first class. And like I said, I retired as lieutenant colonel. My last 5 years I spent as a command and general staff college instructor. And that was both in, just dropped my mind now, at Leavenworth and then also at Edwards Air Force Base with Air Force officers.
Thank you, Dale. Gaia.
I have over 25 years of business, operations, marketing, strategic planning experience in diverse areas. I have at the present time and for the last over a decade, companies hire me to come in and evaluate their companies and re-engineer them if needed. And I am responsible for putting the right team in place and utilizing those assets to help increase profits and obviously productivity. I'm very proud right now that I do am a consultant directing, I'm a directing consulting director. As I said before, I've never done this before, so bear with me. of a wonderful business that's been very successful throughout the pandemic. We never shut down. And I lead a team of 12 employees. And I also was Arnold Schwarzenegger's chief of staff. So as he was running for governor, I realized pretty quickly that once he got elected, I really wanted nothing to do with politics. But as I said before, I think my diverse skills and abilities make me highly qualified for this position because I come at it from a business perspective and I empower the people that I work with and I surround myself with very intelligent, talented people. And I'm very proud of what I can bring to the table. And I think that we need new leadership that is has vision and is forward thinking and does not have any conflicts of interest. Thank you.
Okay, great. Erin.
Dale, thank you for your service. So qualifications and leadership skills. For me, I'm kind of the old school person in the room. So I have served the city of Arroyo Grande officially since 2005. I started on the planning commission, then moved up to the city council. I was briefly on the board of supervisors, then back to city council, and here I am as mayor. So I have extensive experience in serving you, the citizens. And part of what has me here so long is because I'm well known for being a listener. I'm well known for being able to take a whole bunch of people who have different points of view, put them together in the same room and solve problems. Just a little background you might not know. I'm from a small business family. My father owned a small chain of toy stores in Los Angeles. That's where I spent my vacations. So I grew up knowing what it means to try and make it into the black in December. And I even ran my own small business in Grover Beach for a short time while I was home with my kids. So that's my qualifications for this, but my leadership skills. I started writing things down about, I have always run a meeting with civility. I can run it with grace. I can run it with great strength when needed. I led the community through the greatest social upheaval in our lifetimes and brought people together during a time when people were really coming apart. That's who I am and how I lead. That's why I have very strong bipartisan endorsements and supports. You can find all of that on mayorkaren.com. And I really do think that my style of leadership, civil, calm, kind, and inclusive, is what we need in this day and age. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next question. From a city management position, when you envision the future of Arroyo Grande, what do you believe to be the most beneficial factors in maintaining what is most important in our community? Does that? Yes. Certainly.
Okay.
So from city management position, when you envision the future of Arroyo Grande, what do you believe to be the most beneficial factors in maintaining what is most important in our community? So, and Gail, we're going to start with you. Does that help? Does that make sense?
You're going to start with me?
Yes.
Okay. It does make sense. It made sense the first time. I appreciate that. I believe that it's incredibly important to make sure that the leader of our city honors its citizens' rights that are protected by our Constitution and not have any other focus.
Okay.
No, I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then when it comes to the actual city, I believe that we should be an incredible tourist attraction. I believe that the village and the historical society need to have more investment so we can get people off the freeway to visit us. We're the gateway to miles and miles of wineries, and we're just minutes from the beach. And I think that that's a missed opportunity. I also think that we need to make sure that we can sustain our population, obviously water, and also making sure that our leaders have a plan in place for the next emergency. I think that separating people and isolating them is a terrible mistake. And I think that bringing the community together, I don't care if it's at the Walmart parking lot, so we can discuss what a good plan for our community, because we are unique, is best for us. And I believe a strong leader in that effort is very important. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize for stepping on your pause there. Karen.
I'm going to repeat the question because there's a lot of nuance in here.
There is.
So from a city management position, when I envision the future, what are the beneficial factors in maintaining what's special about Arroyo Grande? From a city management position, so that directs me into staff. That directs me into the partnership that the elected officials have with our staff. And I don't know if everybody here knows that we run a lean, strong staff that has per capita one of the fewest numbers. Atascadero and us are the two leanest staff members. So what that says is we're doing so much. We've got a wonderful community with a really dedicated staff. And at the helm, we have City Manager McDonald's and Assistant City Manager Robeson, who are just like a superhero duo leading our city, working with the elected officials as a team so that we can get things done and make really hard decisions together. And while we're all doing that, the culture of this city is that we do it together, that we bring people together, that we listen to what they have to say. And what I've always said is, if you're going to come do this job, then you read your staff reports, you ask questions, you go to the meeting, you listen to the public, and then you make your decision in that order. And that's what this group does. That's what I want to have happen. That is how you make sure that we stay with a community focus, and that will always lead us down the right path. I have always said process protects everyone. Again, integrity is so important that we can't jump that process. And when we follow that process and we come together and we listen to each other, really big, tough problems can get solved. That's how we continue being the special community that we are.
Thank you. Dale.
Let's see if I can wrap that one up. I believe, number one, positive financial position, increasing the reserve allocation, projecting a more positive marketing image of the city. There's just too many vacant properties and lots. And if we start doing some of that, we would increase our sales tax. In fact, I wish I'd knew how much sales tax we lost on the Strawberry Festival this last year. Now, I know previously it was canceled due to the pandemic, but last year it was canceled because the committee kind of fell away. Well, that was sales tax opportunities lost. And there are people throughout the state who knows about a Royal Grande Strawberry Festival, and they come into town just for that. And that's a critical area.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I'm just going to check to see. I think if we continue along this trend, I can get two more questions out of you tonight. So the next one is back to kind of business backgrounds a little bit. If you would describe and include the largest budgets and the largest number of employees you have managed in your career. I'll give you guys a moment to think about that, but Karen.
Management's a little tough there. It depends on how I define management. So if I go back to my time on the Board of Supervisors, that would have been 3,000 people in a $560 million budget. So that's $500 million. That was no small thing. That was really, really hard. And that was all about people. Here at Arroyo Grande, we manage somewhere in the neighborhood of, depending on whether we count the Five Cities Fire Authority, somewhere just over 100 people. And that budget is roughly $40 million. Some of it's general, some of it's not. And so if we talk about my past in business, then that would have been, I didn't personally manage those when it was my father, but ours, it was a mom and pop shop with two employees. And in some ways, and I don't want to say what that budget was, but in some ways that's hardest of all, because that's when what you're doing truly and directly affects a single human being. And that's what this is all about. Managing business is about managing human beings. It's about being with people. It's about making the community better. My job as your mayor and our job as your city council is to set a field that makes it so that you all can come here and be good business people and do what you need to do to feed your families and keep your employees and your budgets healthy. So it's a little bit of that symbiosis. So as an elected official, it's a little odd to answer that. My other life, many people don't know, I'm a full-time high school teacher, so I don't manage that budget. I beg for dry erase pens. So just wrapping it up, I think the biggest thing in understanding how budgets work is that it's limited, and there are sometimes limits to what we can do as government. That's what I do, and sometimes I've got to deliver hard messages and figure out how we're going to do so much with so little. So that's where my skill lies.
Great. Thank you. Dale.
I'm still scratching my head on this one. Too many years have passed since I had a big budget. I'm thinking back to when I was a company commander for a brigade headquarters. I had two UH-1 or Huey helicopters, eight Jet Rangers, rolling stock of 78 vehicles, 135 enlisted men. Flight crew was 16 pilots, warrant officers and commissioned. And then there was the staff officers, which I kind of played with a little bit off and on because I was company commander and they normally reported to the brigade commander. That budget was around $1 million and that was 30 years ago. So I'd hate to see what it'd be today because, in fact, I was just at San Luis Airport 2 days ago. And I looked at a helicopter out there on the flight line saying, what type of bird is that? I had to go home and look it up. It's the new version of a Huey. Things change when you drop out. In a civilian capacity, my budgets were much smaller. Basically, a staff of 14, 15 people running the stock of furniture, equipment, technology. When I worked for Northrop Grumman, I was over part of the technology area for the human resource department. So the big thing I found was the mentality was, well, whoever the senior secretary was, she gets the newest equipment. I went, time out. That's not the way it's going to work now in my term. We're going to go out and we're going to find out what the oldest equipment is, and the oldest equipment gets replaced first. And therefore, we're going to be equally sharing equipment and technology out. So great. That's kind of what I did.
Thank you, Dale. Kaya.
So I've had an incredibly diverse background, and I've been involved in multi-million dollar budgets, working in the corporate operations highest level of Universal Studios and ICM and different companies in the entertainment industry. Obviously, that affects, you know, hundreds of employees. And then I also have run my own business, which is me and my husband, so I've dealt with those type of budgets too. But it's the same. It's being very, very diligent with the money that you have available, obviously trying to increase the budget in creative ways. And I do think it's very important to include people that are creative. I think artists, musicians have engineer minds, and including them with the more linear minds who are, very focused on budgets and numbers and whatnot, that both are very important. So listening to both sides and working together, I think, is really important. I mean, right now I am responsible for, you know, over 13 people that work at the company I'm consulting for now. And thankfully, even during COVID, we didn't have to lay anyone off, but we had to get very clever and creative in how we managed our money and spent our money. And now we have thrived and continue to thrive. So I hope that answers the question on the different levels that I've been involved in managing budgets.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So last question. You're going to like this one because it's an easy one. But basically, we'd like to leave the last question open-ended. So You must have come here today with some anticipation of some questions you might like to have been asked. So is there anything that you would like to ask and answer here this evening? So what would you like to share with your audience that has not been asked this evening? It can be as simple as your closing remark. It can be something that you feel passionate about, but this is your chance again to let our audience and those that are watching remotely know what you really want to share. What's the message that you would like everyone to leave here tonight resonating in our minds? And Dale, I believe it's your turn to start.
You would set me up. I think the most important thing is having an understanding of people and what they need. In my life as an instructor for the Command General Staff College, I had to bring in the students who were all officers, but they were different branches, be it the combat or medical or support or whatever. I had to find out who they were and what they needed, and then turn around and make sure the instruction given to them could be understood. In fact, it was funny, I had a general officer visiting one class, and after the lunch break, I came back with ding-dongs. I had ding-dongs passed out to the students. And everyone's looking at me, what is he doing? I said, okay, I want you to break open that ding-dong. Describe it to me. So they describe it, and they said, okay, take the cream filling out. What do you have? It's, oh, something other than a ding-dong. That's the point. When you do the command decision going into battle, you do not want to leave anything off the ingredients. You want to make sure you cover everything. And that general came up to me later and he says, I've never had anyone play that out that way. I thought I was going to get fired, but I didn't.
Thank you, Dale. Gaia, please.
So I guess I would just like to end by saying that I absolutely love my home. I feel like I'm blessed every day I wake up to live in paradise. And I want to do everything in my power to protect that paradise. And that means protecting our resources, our assets, promoting our assets, listening to people with a dissenting view and a without condemnation. I will always, I'm hoping, you know, when I am elected, because everyone keeps telling me I need to say that, that I will always make everyone in our community feel welcome to come to the city council meetings, because I know it's nerve-wracking. I've spoken at them myself, and when you're under that time limit and you're so passionate about something, I really want people to feel like that they've been heard and that they are in a very welcoming, like their living room. So I'm very dedicated to the success of growing our budget, bringing in new businesses, eliminating those empty buildings, just looking forward. People hire me because I'm a forward-looking person. And not only am I forward-looking, I have a proven track record of implementing my vision. And again, by surrounding myself with the right people, and even as a elected official, I will continue to research and consult with people that have more expertise, and I'll be looking to other cities to see what their successes and challenges and maybe some of their failures are. I love the challenge. I love the chess game of it, and I hope to have the opportunity to be able to get under the hood and reevaluate and make this city just amazing for the generations to come, not only just for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen.
So I did have an introduction written, so I wasn't quite sure whether we were going to get there. So I'm going to do that real quick, and then I'm going to kind of tell you what I was prepared to do, because this what I do have questions I thought you were going to ask. So my introduction was this. I've been serving the city since 2005, council 2010, all the way up to mayor and a couple of other things in between. I've been a board member of several organizations serving on SLO Council of Governments, IWMA, Economic Vitality Corporation, Zone 3, and CAPSLO. I currently am a director for the South County Sanitation District and a board member of Aurora Grande Public Art. I'm very proud of both of those things. And I'm well known to be a consensus builder who has broad bipartisan support, and I am the recipient of the Rotary International's Paul Harris Award for Service Above Self. So I appreciate that the community even recognizes how hard this job really is. It's really hard. Don't let the kind demeanor and smile fool you. It takes a lot of effort to do this job and stand in front of the community like that. The things that I was prepared to talk to you about tonight, and I will be sitting back at my table, so if you would like to talk to me about any of these things or whatever's on your mind, I'll be here. I was prepared to talk about Central Coast Blue, the sales tax, Briscoe Interchange, Five Cities Fire Authority, affordable housing. Those are just a small list of the things on our front burner right now. There are big problems to solve here in Aurora Grande. I am grateful to be working with the staff I'm working with. I am grateful to our public officials, both past and present. I'm grateful to whomever I may or we may be working with in the future so that we can solve those really tough ones. Politics is all about relationships, and it's really important to be able to hold and build solid relationships based in kindness and in community, and that is where I will lead for our next couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you. So if the three of you could stand, I'd like to thank Gaya Powell, Dale Hansen, and incumbent Karen Ray Ressam for being here this evening. One of these people will be our next mayor. Thank you so much for being here. They will be staying until the end this evening, so you can talk to them individually. But you three are now off the hook. You're out of the hot seat, so to speak. If you've opened water, if you would just kindly take it with you, and we will get the city council up here next. Thank you. Thank you. We'll just take a moment to switch everybody out. Okay, got it. Okay, very good. So I'd like to just explain a little bit about our city council candidates. We now have districts. And so we have Kathleen Sechrist here representing District 1. And she is the only candidate running for that seat. And then we have Ben Franco and James Guthrie running for District 4. And so we're going to switch questions. Some of them you'll see are a little bit similar. Some of them maybe too similar. But we're going to ask you a different set of questions because we know the role of city council is very different from the role of the mayor. And we want you to be aware of that. And that's why we have a different set of questions for you here this evening. So, and again, we're going to rotate. So we're going to start here with James, but then we'll rotate questions through. All right, so the first one is exactly the same as the mayor's. I want you to take a brief 2 minutes and share why you are running and what the top two things you want the constituents to know about you are. So, James.
Okay, so I'm running because I believe in the next 3-4 years we'll be making some really critical decisions about the city. I believe we, besides water and financial issues, we have significant policy issues that will be changing in the city over the next 4 years. My particular interest is establishing the priorities, particularly in the financial area, regarding setting the priorities for not just road repair, which is something that is near and dear to my heart, but also certainly staffing levels, staff retention. There are many other areas that are affected by our budget, and that's something that I'm particularly interested in. I also am kind of a wonky person, so I like policy. I do think that as we're going through the general plan, it isn't just writing the general part of the general plan. It's actually the implementation afterward, that the guts that makes it work and that makes it possible for businesses and for people to use that general plan and for us to use it to function. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I am new to local government. We'll see. My husband jokes that he's going to do a write-in on the ballot. But if that doesn't happen, it would be very excited to be elected. But I am new to government, so I am trying to play catch-up on all of these issues. And I had to laugh when the mayor talked about everything she came prepared for, because I've been trying to research all of it. But the main reason I primarily got interested in the beginning was that I feel every resident everywhere deserves to be treated with civility and fairness and respect. Absolutely no exceptions. And that goes for, it should go for every level of government. And so I'd like to be a part of that. I'm excited to work on the general plan. I am just going through, there's a lot going on here, but I'm trying to go through the staff reports and see what has been approved. Thank you. And so I'm very excited. It sounds as though we do have some funds and there's a lot going on. I was surprised and had not known previously that we have $100,000 from the American Rescue Plan that's going to go towards a daycare funding. And when folks have daycare, you have a workforce. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Ben.
So the reason why I'm running is I believe every citizen deserves a voice. I think that we don't really know who our elected officials are. We know their names, we hear about policy, but we don't know who they really are. And so I believe in making sure that all of our citizens have the right to work, when to work, that no one has the right to shut us down for any reason. That should be our decision to do, and to make sure that you guys have someone that's willing to fight for you in the city. Thank you.
Great, thank you. All right, this next question has a pre-qualifier in front of it, so it's just a little bit of an explanation. And it describes the chamber and our role that we play in the community. The chamber is the catalyst and champion for the business community. California's economic competitiveness and vitality in any community is reliant on sales tax generated by healthy businesses. That's the pre-qualifier, okay? Please tell us what you would do to ensure the needs of the business community are not only heard, but equitably considered in the decision-making process within City Council. And Kathleen.
Sorry, I'm like,
yeah, you're going to be first this time.
Okay, I'm going to preface this with, I've been a deputy district attorney for 25 years. So I do not have a business background. I'm not trying to pretend that I do. So I have been attending City Council meetings. I've been speaking to some business owners. I was present when Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem had the business meeting for small business owners, and was listening to a lot of their concerns, and clearly they have some big ones. In terms of what to be done, I know there's a sales tax coming up on the ballot. I support that. My understanding is that that should bring in quite a bit of income for infrastructure, things like that. But I know just from going to the meetings that local businesses, especially in the village, I'm generalizing, but this is a lot, have said that they want more street services, they want a cleaner atmosphere, whether it's trash or street cleaning. And so I'm hoping that if we get more in with the sales tax, that can go for some needs like that. I know it's important.
Great, thank you. Okay, Ben.
So I'm a previous small business owner. I owned my own exterior maintenance business. And so I know what it's like to be a small business owner. I believe in listening to everybody. Everybody has a voice to decide what to do with our funds. I don't support any new sales tax. I believe we have funds that are just being allocated differently, and we need to adjust how we spend our money. And so that's what I'm here to do for you guys.
Okay, great. Thank you. James.
I think the primary thing that we can do for small businesses is make it easy to work with the city. I'll use an example. You shouldn't have to hire a professional to put together a simple sign. On the other hand, I understand how it gets complicated. And I think this is one place where, for instance, the chamber could probably work with us to put together some sort of simple trainings on those kinds of simple, they seem simple, procedures that you need to do with the city that become complicated. The other areas, of course, as mentioned, keeping particularly the village area clean is an absolutely something we should be doing. I don't think the sales tax really affects small business that much, so I'm not quite sure why that's part of the discussion. But I am in favor of the sales tax, because the only way we're going to be able to do some of the street, any of the street repair that we really need to do in this city now is going to be with additional funds.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, next question. What do you believe is the role of city council when it comes to issues that are regional and or statewide? How do you envision that? And Ben, we're going to start with you.
So I believe that we're supposed to be kind of the conduit between the people and then the higher ups. That's our role. And I don't believe that we should be reliant on any state to try to tell us how to live. I don't understand why we cowtail to what California wants us to do for water rights, for homelessness. I don't understand why the state can't run itself while they're going to try to run our city. And so I am here, again, to be your guys' candidate for you, so you have a voice every time, no matter what the issue is.
Great. Thank you. Okay, James.
So dealing with the regional issues, there are many, many regional boards that the city's involved in, that, you know, whether it's integrated waste management or SLOCOG that deals with a lot of our transportation funding. And the city's role in there is as one vote representing, but you're not representing your city, you're representing the entire region when you do those. As far as dealing with the state, frankly, I think we have to play the cards we're dealt. Politics is the art of the possible, and whether we like it or not, the city control or the state controls many of the purse strings. While I'd love for us to raise enough funds to be independent of the state, that the fact is that in order to receive those funds, we have to play by a lot of their rules. So we have, through the League of Cities, we've made some inroads in controlling some of the state intrusion into our area of expertise. But it's an area that needs a lot more work, but not one that the city council deals with directly. So I think that's it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Kathleen.
Thank you. So I'm not surprisingly not a wealth of knowledge in this area. I can tell you from doing law for so long that it's a nice idea that we don't have to do what the state tells us to do, but there's a lot of laws in place here. So in terms of regional relationships, I know that, for instance, on the issue of homelessness, I know it may not be taking top priority at the moment, but from speaking to city council members and president of Five Cities Homeless Coalition, my understanding is, you know, you have these building blocks of relationships. You start small, so it would be our city, and then you work with the five cities, then there's county, then, you know, statewide and on from there. And with that, I know from what I have read and been told that the situation with homelessness is far better than it used to be, mostly because all the different levels and agencies have coordinated what they're doing, but also all the different grants and who's spending what money, so services are not duplicated, and they're moving forward and they're making great strides. So,
great, thank you. Okay, next question kind of feeds into the last one we just had. Increased wages, inflation, and shipping challenges continue to create more challenges for the business community. What do you think could be done on the city level to help those businesses? Okay, and James, we're back to starting with you.
Okay.
I can repeat it.
That's a tough one. What do we do about supply chain, about helping the supply chain. And, well, I think perhaps I've got to admit, I don't see a city role in helping with those particular issues.
What about maybe wages and inflation?
Well, certainly we have to deal with wages and inflation at the city level, but
right?
We're not really in a position to affect wages and inflation.
So maybe I'll ask the three of you a little bit different question. So if you're sitting on city council and you're helping make decisions for the city and the challenges the city's facing, how's that?
All right, that works. Okay. Yeah, so this is an area that I am particularly concerned of. I was on the council through the 2008-2010 financial crisis. I think that the situation we're going to be in is going to actually be more complicated than that, because I think inflation is actually more complicated than a recession, and inflation plus a recession will be very complicated. I do think we're going to have to take a serious look at balancing staff retention and taking a review of what I don't think we'll be able to expand services in the atmosphere that we're going to be in. So it's going to be beyond a challenge. We're actually going to have to make, I believe, some very difficult decisions about the level of city services going forward.
Great. All right. Kathleen?
Not having the business background and not having been on city council yet, that all sounds quite reasonable. The one thing I can offer is that I have looked at, and I've been present for some of the voting regarding the new parklet ordinance or procedures, I guess. And it sounds like that for some businesses, food and drink, obviously, parklets have been, to a certain degree, pretty successful. I know that there was a survey of over 1,000 residents, and 70% were in favor of the parklets, being able to eat outside. Fun and different, and I know it started because of the COVID situation, but it's gone on from there. And I know that the city council was trying to balance the needs of the restaurants that were able to use parklets, and then there's some businesses that aren't using them at all. A craft store, say, would not be using a parklet. So just balancing the needs and the fairness of is a business losing a few parking spots, that's a big deal, versus someone being able to have a parklet. And I know they also worked hard with the architectural committee and the planning commission in terms of aesthetics. What are our guidelines going to be to keep it uniform and in character with the village, which of course is charming and unique. And also there were some safety concerns. So that's what I would offer.
Thank you. Ben.
So what I would try to do for the supply chain issue, we're like one of the biggest ag creators here. And a lot of our ag gets sold and goes out of our city, out of our county. I'd like to see if there's a way we can keep all of our stuff here so we're not reliant on others to get our food to us. I think that's a huge issue. And with wages, I think that we need to do something about the housing costs. I think that wages are good if housing wasn't $800,000, $900,000 to buy a three-bedroom house. I think that we need to fix that. And that's what's going to help bring down our cost of living. It's not going to, if you bump up wages to $47 an hour, your next house is going to be $1.7 million, gas is going to be $14 a gallon. It's never going to balance out. So we have to do something about finding a way to stop housing from increasing by 20, 30% every year. We need to figure that out.
Great. Thank you. All right. So taking the lead from the mayors, I'm going to switch up your last question. And that's going to be just to simply ask to give us your closing statements. So now we're going to start with, I lost track. Kathleen?
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to give you my opening because I thought
there
was
an
opening.
Opening, closing. That sounds great.
So I'm running for Aurora Grande City Council, District 1. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a 25-year resident of San Luis Obispo County. My husband, Scott, and my daughter, Pema, and I have lived in Aurora Grande 13 years. When we first came here, she toddled off to kindergarten. I cannot believe it, but she is now off to sophomore at Aurora Grande High School. time flies. I've been a deputy district attorney for 25 years in San Luis Obispo, and it is a job that I love. I've prosecuted many, many criminal cases, many trials. I've prosecuted many mentally disordered offenders. And the goal is always to protect victims and keep the community, our community, at large safe. I think that my extensive service, my years of serving the public, and my years of really having to research issues very deeply would serve me well, thank you, as a city council person. I already said I think I was inspired to run out of a concern that everyone be treated fairly and civilly and with respect. There's absolutely no reason that anyone should walk into a city or a county or any other kind of meeting and be treated disrespectfully. I just have found that appalling. And I am not talking about the Rio Grande City Council, but just we've all seen it, and it's just needs to stop. So I stand for a balanced budget. Sorry, what was that? Okay. Fully funded police and fire infrastructure repairs, limited short-term vacation rentals. I am new to government. I'm learning a lot. I would be honored to represent you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Ben.
So I am a Navy veteran. I am a husband, a father of three amazing children, Jenna, who's 17, Morgan, 15, both at AG High School, and then Caleb, who's 12 at Paulding Junior High. I'm a fighter. I have a backbone. I believe in standing up for what is right and your convictions, and don't let nothing turn you away from your own convictions. I would love your support. God bless you.
Thank you. James.
Well, I left my closing statement on the table, but I guess I'll start here. The one thing I've learned in 16 years of being on city council in the past and another six on the planning commission is that it really is politics of the possible. You really have to take each situation as it's presented. You leave your ideology behind, because in order to be able to get things done, you're gonna have to find compromise. You're not gonna get everything you want all the time. Sometimes you do have to stand alone. I've been the sole voter on any number of times, but I've also been the third vote that made the difference and had an impact. So I think that's what I bring. I also bring 30 years of management experience from the hotel business. I have dealt with, although I will say that I think your role on city council or is really as a policy setter. You don't actually implement the budget. It's totally different than it is when you run a business. You're doing it from 30,000 feet, and you are establishing a policy that then gets implemented by somebody else. And I think that's a huge difference between what is like, particularly for a small business operator or even someone in who I ran the Spyglass in, someone running a business with 30, 40 employees. So again, I would look forward to and be honored if I was allowed to serve another 4 years. I never intended to come back after doing my 12 or my 16, but I didn't stop paying attention. I didn't stop caring about Arroyo Grande. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if the three of you could stand, just want to remind everyone that we have Kathleen, District 1, Ben Franco, and James Guthrie, District 4, and thank you for offering to run and giving us your time. Okay, all of their time in the hot seat is done. Now the rest of the heat is up to you. So all the candidates will be back at their tables. Feel free to mix and network, but make sure that you are asking those questions that are important to you, getting those answers before you vote. So thank you very much for being here this evening.